Well, I have a few things on the table, and these are just amazing things I want you to get. This is a special, and it's these three DVDs for the price of two. So I want to show you. This one is called America's War in the Heavens. How many know we are not at war with flesh and blood? How many know we're not at war with political parties? Well, Brie, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, you're not. There's, you know, we're at war with demons versus angels, God versus the devil, light versus darkness. But what we're not at war with is human beings. And we forget that, and we get mad at people. Oh, we get mad at this one and that one. Oh, why don't they do what I think they should do? Well, they're never going to, so give up. But here's the good news. We can deal with it in the spirit. In the spirit realm, things can be dealt with so much better, quicker, and easier than if we try to go to fisticuffs. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Fisticuffs won't get you very far. It'll get you bloody knuckles and maybe a night in jail, but it won't get you very far. So let's learn the proper way to go to war. All right. So this is the next one, Explosive Prayer Strategies. Excellent teaching, and I'll think you love it. And let's see here now. The third one, if I can get it out here, this one is called Releasing the Glory. So it's going to be a lot more than I'll be able to share tonight and tomorrow night. It's just a lot of information, and you're going to love it. So these three work so well together, we made a special. Okay, let's see, honey. Shall I put them here? All right. There you go. Now, this is the music CD. I don't have any plans to do songs tonight, but maybe tomorrow night I'll do one or two. But these are very powerful songs. Does anybody need a healing in here? We have a song on here called Stripes. It's the first song. And we've had 2.5 million people healed. I mean, amazing healings. Leprosy fall off. Eyes form in sockets that weren't there before. And that kind of thing. Just amazing things. But this song is called Stripes, and it has 39 whip cracks in it. And people get healed all over the world, not just America. It's something. But there are 6 hits on here that got nationwide airplay, so I just recommend that music to you. This is the Jezebel versus Elijah book. You see, these are the two spirits warring over the souls of men in America right now, Jezebel and Elijah. And what they want to do, they both want you. It's like that advertising, we want you. No, they want you. But guess what? God already won. Jesus Christ already won. So what we have to do is carry that great message to a desperate, dark world and tell them about the greatness of our God and the amazing things he's done for us. And boom, they want him. So this will expose Jezebel and show us how to rise just like Elijah did. He took back all Israel. All right, now this is the pygmy book. How many know I work with pygmies in the Congo? Anybody here never heard me before? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, so I work with pygmies. I've been working 9.5 years now with pygmies. And we've rescued over 75,000 pygmies now. And so it's quite a story because the rebels kill and eat them. But what we do is go in and liberate them and lead them to Jesus and build them villages and teach them the gospel. So it's been 9.5 years. It's just amazing. But 50 pictures in here. It's a terrific book. This is actually a college course here called Advanced Spiritual Warfare, 12 CDs. The book that goes with this is Stripes. There are 5 college courses in here. And I designed it in a way that anybody can read it, but you could also get college credit. And so it's called Stripes. Wow. I'm going to say wow. Does anybody in here have this book? Okay, how do you like it? How do you like it? Terrific. How about you, Pastor? You love it? Yes, he loves it. Everybody's so cryptic tonight. I was thinking, oh, it's just glorious. I wanted to hear all this great stuff, but oh well. I just want to say you'll love it. Let's put it like that. It's really a great reference guide. And the final thing, Give Me Liberty. This is my brand new DVD. And I want to just say, You think you know something about the American Revolution, yeah? Everybody went to school and read a little something, and they told you all these grand stories, most of which weren't true. Wouldn't you like to know the truth? At last, my mother was related to Patrick Henry, and so I have private family records that were passed down to me when my mother passed away. And what I tell you in here is so shocking and so amazing. But you're going to find out, first of all, that the real hero of the revolution was Patrick Henry. It wasn't anybody else. He's the one that began it. He's the one that saw it through. And he's the one that saved this nation over and over after the war was over. Did you know that there was seceded? Different states seceded? And he went out and stopped them and brought them back in. Did you know that? Did you know that he wrote the Constitution? Did you ever hear that? Oh, yes, he did. He did. He wrote it for the state of Virginia. And they were all Virginians, most of the leaders there. So then Jefferson came along, cut and pasted that, took out the good stuff. Really, he did. And then he put in some other stuff, and they fought over it, and finally they passed it. Then they had to go and ratify it. So they went to the 13 colonies, and each one had to ratify it to make it law. But when they came to Virginia, which was the largest, the center, largest and most prosperous of the 13 colonies, Patrick Henry was a delegate. See, he'd been governor 5 times of Virginia. Bet you never heard that. He was the number one excellent Christian leader of the day. He should have and could have been our first president. He turned it down and said no, and he went home to his 18 children and his wife. He would have been a great president, but he turned it down. That's when Washington stepped up, but now they're trying to pass this Constitution. Patrick Henry wrote a Bill of Rights, which he put with the Virginia Constitution. They were excellent. The right to bear arms, the right to free speech, the right to free religion, and so on. He wrote that. One man, Patrick Henry. When they went to pass it, they took out the life, liberty, and property, like he put in there, and they put a nebulous term, pursuit of happiness. Nobody knows to this day what that means. If it left property in there, dear ones, you would have had the right to property, and they could have never taken it from you, and they couldn't have taxed it. They took it out. They didn't want you to have it. The Loyalists and Tories, which includes Jefferson, Washington, and their rich families, made rich and famous by the king who they fought, didn't want to go to war. These are the ones you heard about. Are you with me so far? See, you didn't hear the truth, but I'm going to tell you the truth. They left out the Bill of Rights. They didn't want you to have that. Oh, no. They were going to make it another monarchy type, just like King George III, who was literally insane. All right, so they tried to pass it. Patrick Henry stood up and fought for you and me. He was a common man. He wasn't made rich by the king. He fought and worked for everything he ever had. And he stood up and said, no, 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 you're trying to pass something without a Bill of Rights. You probably wonder why I'm talking to you about this. It's more important than you can ever imagine, because if they'd have rammed that through without the Bill of Rights, you and I would not have any rights. It would be that we would be slaves under some rich people. We would have nothing. We would not have one right. Patrick Henry fought for you, and he made sure you got your Bill of Rights. Don't you want to know more about this man? He was a mighty man. Wherever he went and spoke, whether it was churches or courts of law, because he was a lawyer, he never lost a single case. Every time he spoke, the building shook and lightning struck out of a blue sky, because the glory, listen to me, the glory of God was so strong on that man that people would fall down. This is a man we want to know something about, yes? This is a man who changed the world. And you never heard about him because he was a Christian, a real one, a real Christian. He was a holy man. He lived for God. He spent all his time in the Bible that he wasn't out preaching the gospel or winning cases in a court of law for his Christian friends. Wow. Here's a man we could say, I never knew this. No, he was taken away from your history. They didn't want you to know that because they rewrote history and cut him out. And now I'm going to say I'm making it my business to let people know there was one man who walked in the glory of God. What's our title? There was one man who walked in the glory of God to such an extent that people were amazed. And they followed him because he followed God. What did Paul say? Follow me, I'm following God. Those are the kinds of men we need to know about now. In America, we need 1,000 Patrick Henrys right now. Well, maybe some of you right here in this room, to rise up and say, I will throw everything down for the glory of God, and I will take up my cross, and I will follow my God. And if I die, I die, but let me die serving the Lord. And that's what he did, because King George had a price on his head every second of the entire revolution. There wasn't a breath he breathed that he knew it couldn't be his last. So how about you? You see, we're facing the same thing that we faced in 1765 through the whole revolution. It's all happening now. They're trying to take away our rights. Last Thursday, they took away the right to free speech on public radio, YouTube, Google, Facebook, and there's 15 of them, and it's a longer and longer list. They're literally shutting up free speech. Are you aware of this fact? One head shook. You guys don't know this, but it's literally happening right around you, and you don't even know. So somebody like me has to come and tell you that they've almost succeeded in shutting up the voices of the true Americans that want freedom. And they've put prices on their heads. It's happening right now in America, and we, you and I, need to walk in the glory. We need to find out how to do it, what it is, how to release it, and that's what I want to share with you. Tonight will be the beginning, and tomorrow night I'll conclude it. So I don't want you to miss tomorrow night, because tonight's the introduction, and tomorrow night, the conclusion. We need to walk in the glory, dear ones. We're about to lose everything. And if we don't wake up, we will lose everything. All over the nation, not here, but all over the nation, there are plenty of people telling the Christians, shut up, sit down, be quiet. We don't want to hear anything you have to say. You will not run for political office. How dare you? Christians are supposed to be quiet and shut up and be passive. Let me tell you, that is the polar opposite of what God's Word says. God's Word says, fight the good fight of faith. God says, war a good warfare. Put on the whole armor of God to fight against the wiles of the devil. And it says, spread the good news. Release the glory. Walk in the anointing. Do the works Jesus did. And yet the Christians are being told, shut up, sit down. So I have this to say. Christians should be running for every office from dog catcher to president. Because the reason that we've stood down is the reason our nation's being taken from us as we speak. And we need to also come to the point that we can discern lies from the truth. The lie is so easy to believe, it tickles your ears, but the truth, maybe it's hard. Maybe it's a little harder to bear. Maybe it requires us to get up and actually believe something. I want to be a believer. I don't want to live in doubt and unbelief. I don't want my life to be a shame before the heavenly host. I want the great cloud of witnesses shouting, come on, you can do it. And I'll go, yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is possible when we are hidden in the glory of the living God. So let's go on. I've given you the urgent end time information, and that is that we are in a desperate state, maybe just as desperate as when we went to war with Great Britain. And we're right there right now. All right, now, the body of Messiah must learn to walk in the glory, and the only way to survive the last day is to be hidden in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of His wing. But that doesn't mean you're going to hide under a barrel. It just means He is your safety, your fortress, your strong tower, your deliverer, your shield, your buckler. He's your everything. And hidden in Him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can you? Come on. You don't have to be silent. You can shout, yes! Because I don't want you to sleep. I want you to awake. Because great things are in your hand right now. And you can stretch it forth and do the exploits God calls you to do from the foundation of the world. Or you can go back to sleep in front of your TV. Make a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Now, usually this would be up here. I'm having to turn around a lot. I learned to walk in the glory a long, long time ago, but it really began to be strong when I went to the Congo 9.5 years ago. And God spoke to me in an audible voice, and He said the word, pygmies. So I went, oh, pygmies. Yay, pygmies. So I looked into it. 2 weeks later, He spoke an audible voice to me again, go to the pygmies. I said, yes, sir. And I saluted. Now, you think, well, why would you salute? Because I'm a soldier of the cross. And the captain of my salvation orders me what to do. He doesn't ever ask me. Maybe He says, oh, please, Joe, would you please? God doesn't talk to me like that because I am a soldier. And He says, go, I say, yes, jump, how high? There's my whole life in a nutshell. This is what I do. I live for the Lord. And everything He wants of me, I'm ready to do. Now, so I want to tell you a couple of things, but the glory of God was released in the Congo. We're going to see pictures, I hope, tonight if we get to it. Now, the glory has saved my life numerous times. And I want all of you to know that the glory is more than you think. And it will operate in ways you've not dreamed of. But we've explored quite a few of them, and I'm sure there's more that I am yet to know. But what I am is ready. So however He wants to use me or show me His glory, I am all ready to hear it, to see it, and to do it. So it saved my life, and I'm going to talk about that. Okay, let's see. Wait a minute. What's going on? We're just stuck in that frame. I just need it to move. There we go. Did you do that? You may have to do it henceforth. So I'll just say next. Next. Okay. Okay. We're going to show in Scripture how the glory operates. Next. So 1 Timothy 1:18, war a good warfare. And that word warfare means strategy. So you can't just run like an idiot into a fight. How long does a soldier train before he can be an excellent fighter? You see, my brother was in the Army. My father worked for the Army 35 years. And I can tell you, you don't run into a battle like an idiot. You train. You get in shape. In the case of a Christian, it'd be good to get in physical good shape, too. I sure have to be. I can't run into the Congo I have to be in pretty good shape to go in there because it's very, very dangerous. It's a war zone. So I train. I actually train physically and I train spiritually. And I memorize lots and lots of scripture, because when I get in trouble, I want scripture to come out of my mouth. What I don't want to come out of my mouth is, oh God, I'm going to die. I mean, you can have whatsoever you say. So you have to train your mouth by training your mind. Renew it, train it, memorize. Then when you get in trouble, what will come out? Scripture. That's what you need. Scripture could save your life, and it certainly has saved mine so many times. All right, so we have Exodus 16:10. They looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. The glory. And you guys say, glory. Well, here's what I heard. Glory. What I want you to say is this word with some reverence, because there's anointing on the word. Let's do it together. Glory. Ooh, now we're cooking. I like that. All right, so glory. There's an anointing on that word. Remember, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. A lot of times, there'll be a cloud of glory wherever we go in the Congo. And that thing has followed me all over Israel, all over the Congo, all over the Amazon sometimes when I was down there. So it's a tangible, real thing. It's the presence of God. So it may look like a cloud. It may look like rain. But it's still the presence of God. Oh, whoa, we lost our scriptures. Okay, Exodus 40:31. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So that's interesting. You see the cloud and the glory together many times, and we've seen it in the Congo. Now, if I've seen it there, don't you think that we could see it here? Who wants that here? I saw five hands. Well, what about the rest of you? I'd like us to be in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace up in here. All right, so go to the next. Okay, John 17:21, that they may all be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may, whoopsies, may be one in us. Okay. That the world may believe thou hast sent me. So God wants us to be one so people will believe, because what he means by that is, you're going to manifest the glory. The light will shine out of you so that men will glorify God who's in heaven. Who's the light? Come on, come on. Okay. Who's the glory? Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So that light lives in you. Am I right? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Oh, what's wrong with this side? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now we're cooking with gas. All right. So the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Oh, you gave us your glory. Man, did you get that? He had it, and he gave it to you and me. I have it. That means I can walk in it, I can manifest it, I can speak, and the glory will come out of my mouth. I will shine because the glorious one lives in me, and I'm not going to hide that. I'm going to show the world glory, and in the glory all things become possible. You see, it's something nobody's really talked about in the ways I want to talk about it to you. I want to show you things probably you never thought of. The ways the glory works. Okay? That they may be one even as we are one. So he gave us his glory. Wow, wow, wow. God gave it to him and he gave it to us. And now we're supposed to give it to the world. All right, next. I appreciate you back there. I don't know what's up with that little doodad. Okay, 1 Kings 8:10, the cloud, oh, there it is again, filled the house of the Lord so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Wow, this is more and more about the glory. And yet we just gloss over it like, oh yeah, glory, yeah, glory. Well, no. It's amazing. It's the very presence and power of the living God. And we want to delve in this maybe in a fresh way tonight. Okay, next. Luke 2:8, shepherds in the field. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. Wow, they knew something big was happening. And Matthew 24. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great what? Say it again. Oh, that was good that time. Okay, next. I'm sorry, you're going to have to stay with me because I'm going to go a little quicker now. Faith versus fear, darkness versus light. Now, I want to tell you this. You can't hold fear in your mind and faith in your mind at the same time. You must choose whom you will serve. The God of fear, who is that? The devil or de devil. All right. So who's the God of the glory? All right. So he's the light. If you bring light into a room that's dark, what happens? Lights the whole room. One candle, light the whole room. I saw something, a commercial, I guess, one time, and they had this little bitty candle, and it was like a mile away, and it was dark. And they showed you could see that candle, one candle, a mile away in the pitch dark. I thought, isn't that amazing? That's how much your light is explosive because Jesus, the very person of Jesus, lives in you if you're born again. If you're not born again, no. But if you are, the light lives in you. Who else lives in you? That's right. And he is glorious too. So imagine all the explosive Holy Spirit power you have dwelling in you. Oh no, let's go hide under a barrel. Oh no, I couldn't possibly talk to somebody. Yes, you can. The glory of God is in you. Just release it. I used to go to the grocery store. I have other people shop for me now because I'm not in town long enough. So I send my son or somebody else to go get groceries so I can stay there and get everything done when I'm in town. And I used to go to the grocery store. I'd be pushing a cart along, and I'd just be just kind of praying in the spirit or just humming a beautiful song and just praising the Lord, walking around getting my groceries, and I forget everything I went there for. Anybody do that? I have to have a list. I have to have it. So anyway, just walking around, and people would run up to me screaming and fall right in front of the cart and go, "What must I do to be saved?" I go, "Whoa." I said, "Give me your hand. Stand up." I say, "Listen, the glory of the Lord is upon me, and he wants me to tell you that he loves you." And they fall down, and stuff had happened. This is in the grocery store. Come on, this is the kind of light we need to be releasing. You know, anywhere we go, I don't care if it's a gas station. I've had people come up and say, "What is it about you?" I say, "What do you mean?" They said, "You're shining." "I'm shining? Oh, I would love to tell you about that." It's a perfect opportunity, right? Man, okay. So we can't walk in darkness. We must choose because we can't hold light and darkness or fear and belief at the same time. So what do you guys say? Which one would you choose today? All right. So these are all the things we need to be thinking about. We're not going to walk in fear. Fear is death. Fear just brings death. Faith brings life. So choose. Did you know on 9/11, there were a lot of people, the authorities said, sit still. Just sit there. And so they just sat there and died. And when they realized there was no way out because they just sat there, a bunch of them jumped out the windows. There's footage. They just jumped out and fell, I don't know how many stories. Many, many stories. They jumped out because of fear. That's irrational. But that's what fear does to you. So a lot of people died because they listened to some idiot knowing the building was on fire. They sat still. Now, where's the brains? How did they expect to get rescued by sitting still? Come on, tell me. Wasn't it foolish? If you were in the building and it was on fire, this tall, tall building, the Twin Towers, would you just sit there? Tell me. Or would you try to get down? Get down. I was in a towering inferno once. It was in Indianapolis, Indiana. My brother and I were playing music on the top floor of this massive tower. And it was just a beautiful place up there. You could see the whole city, but it caught on fire. And there were people that went crazy. And they sat there shaking in fear. They were running around like a dog chasing his tail. I never saw such idiocy. And they said, you can't use the elevator. So I said, that's just fine. And we wetted some cloths, and we went down the stairways, and we got out. People died because they refused to move. But you see, you got to use your brain. You got to remember your scriptures. You got to understand that God is for you. And if God is for you, very good. Okay, next picture. All right. Now, the first time I saw the glory cloud, it was when I first got saved, about a year and a half in. We had put together a Christian band after about 9 months of studying the Bible and all. And my husband and I, we got some excellent musicians because we're really good musicians and we earned our living playing music before we were saved. And so we thought, well, let's use our gift to glorify God now because we are gifted. Why waste that? So we put together a Christian band. And we started playing out in malls and parks and churches and coffee houses and everywhere. I mean, on the street corner, anywhere we could set up and play music. And people would just flock to us. They would just flock to us by the thousands. We got thousands and thousands and thousands of people saved just going in spontaneously setting up because the glory of God was on us. And they could see it. And so people were drawn to that. They wanted that. And so, man, I'm telling you, street gangs and everything, we just set up anywhere. And so we started being asked to play in schools and colleges. Except they said, well, now you can come and play, and we want you to. We know you're well-known, you're getting radio airplay, and we want you to go. But you can't preach the gospel in here. You know, you just play your music and shut up. So I said, oh, fine, I'll fix you. So I wrote songs that have the gospel message in them. Come on. The whole thing. Right in the song. And then I get everybody singing along with me. Next thing you know, we've got a whole audience of people saved, and we never preached the gospel. It was in the songs. And so this was my strategy. See, good warfare means strategy. God will give you strategy. So if you're pressing in, and you're spending time in the, let's call it the secret place. Let's call it the holy place. Let's call it the hiding place. You know, there's a lot of names for this. But let's call it the presence of the Lord or resting in His glory. So we went off and we were headed to Warrensburg, Missouri, which was about an hour from where I live in Kansas City. And there was a big college town there. And they asked us, come and do a concert in our auditorium. And we knew all the kids in the college would come because they love concerts, but they were never Christian concerts. We were the first. So we were driving there, and all of a sudden, my husband, who wasn't thinking at this moment, he turned to me and said, wouldn't it be funny if we broke down? Remember, I told you can have whatsoever you say. You really need to be careful. And I said, no, no. But it was too late. The car broke down right then. Boom, done. So I got out, I'm walking around the car, and I'm breaking the cursing words, and I began to speak. Now, you have the authority to speak the word by faith. So you're resting in the presence of God, the glory or the presence of God, the light. It's in you, on you, and through you. And it's coming from heaven and flowing out through you. Everybody understand? So you're going to walk in the glory. And now I'm speaking in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that someone will come along immediately and pick us up and take us to Warrensburg. We'll send back a tow truck. We're going to get towed to the city, and we're going to get the equipment up on that stage. Somebody will fix the car while the concert's going, and we'll start on time in the name of Jesus, the Messiah of Nazareth who came in the flesh. Wow, boom, somebody picked us up. Somebody took us to Warrensburg. We got immediately towed. Immediately. There were no cell phones at that time. And so we towed it. Anyway, the band all met us in another car. We unloaded the equipment. Somebody fixed the car. I mean, it was 6 at night or something. A guy fixed the car. And so we put everything up on the stage, which is impossible. It takes 3 hours to set up all our equipment. Because I had a lot of concert stuff from my other BC days. Okay, had a lot of stuff. And so setting it up, 3 hours, we did it in 30 minutes. Impossible. How many know that's impossible? You just don't know the stacks of stuff we had. 30 minutes. Man, you know, then the sound check alone takes that long. But, man, we didn't even have a sound check. We threw it all up there, and we started exactly at 7 o'clock. And it was a big auditorium with tears going up to the ceiling. It was packed. You couldn't have shoehorned another person in there. There would have been no way. It was packed. And they were all breathless like this because they didn't know what was coming. So we got up there and we started playing and the anointing fell. And about halfway through I looked and at the back of the auditorium up high in the bleachers way up there, a glory cloud, a real one. And it was a mist. So it was misting in this auditorium. And the mist was falling. And it was cloud. There was a cloud full of mist. And it started moving from the top down across the people. And these young people, college students, were falling out of their seats. They were falling on the ground screaming. And some were running forward screaming, "Help me, what must I do to be saved?" Or, "Get these demons off of me." I mean, it was like amazing. And we were still playing. So finally, the whole group were mobbed up in the front there. And I'm just standing there with my mouth on my chest going, because the glory cloud was there just misting. And everybody was getting wet. You guys, that was the presence of. And in such a way, you see, the devil fought us and tried to keep us from getting there. But God, see, opened a door. And he said, go through that door. And no matter what happens to you, just do what I told you to do. And I'll make a way for you where there seems to be no way. And when you're resting in the hiding place, the secret place, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Under his wings shall I trust. I will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 may fall by my side, and 10,000 by my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. See, I know the word, and the word knows me. Can you say that? Does the word know you? He's a person. My Redeemer lives. And there is no God like our God. But there's a catch. only believe. We went home from that concert just overwhelmed with the love and the passion and the glory of God, and I will never forget it. Our God is awesome. Now, the next time I saw the glory cloud, I was asked to do a Passover Seder in, it was in Denver. And God made a way for us to go, my whole family. The five of us were a family worship team for a while. All my boys play instruments, and my husband and I, and we all sang, and we traveled all over. And so I said, sure, we'll be happy to come up. He wanted us to do worship, and he wanted me to speak. So I said, okay, that's all fine. He says, but I can't afford to pay you. Now, if you've got five people in a family, and you're counting on offerings and all that to support your family and to keep going and to pay for, you know, the cutting of the albums and all that that we were doing. Well, to say we can't afford to pay you, but we want you to come. And this is 10 hours from where I live. I thought, oh, God, you're a big God. And I just pray. And he says, go. I told him, yes, we'll come. So it was an effort now. I'm not kidding, because that old clunker that we, old van, was an old work van. I barely ran, you know, the whole way. But I just said, no, we're going to make it. Everything's going to be fine. And God will provide all our needs. All. Can you say all? See, when you're walking in the secret place, you're dwelling there, God will make a way. So we got there. Oh, my goodness, yes, we're going to give you all your meals and your hotel. I said, well, you didn't promise that, but I sure appreciate it. So we got in there, and now we start playing. And when he started the evening, it was like three or four days long. But on the Passover Eve, at sundown, they started the Seder, which, you know, there's a whole program you do for the Passover meal. It's, you know, all complex. But he wanted me to do my four songs, which he wove into the thing. So I started doing the songs. And I got up, and I would get up, and then I would sit down, and then he'd do another part of the Passover. And I'd get up and do one of the songs. I sit down. On the second song, in the middle of the song, the glory cloud of God came in there. And it was tangible. And it hit the whole group. And as I was just still doing the song, and I saw a cloud I couldn't even see across the banquet room. I couldn't see all the way across the room because of the cloud. And then people started just, they were sitting there 1 minute and they're laying on the floor the next. They just fall out of their seats because the glory of God hit them. So I went on and we finished up and the whole thing was amazing. We had a great time. The glory cloud of God was tangible in that room. It was a very powerful event. So at the end of that, they passed the offering plate. And I had exactly $20. It's all Steve and I had, my husband and I. It's every penny that we had in the world. And it wasn't even enough for gas to get us home. But I was expecting a miracle. Come on. You guys expect a miracle? Come on. You're not just listening. Are you participating with me here? Because I want you to come on in here. It's like I'm standing on this bridge, and you're on the other side, and I'm going, come on, come on, come on across this bridge, because it's awesome over here. Man, we want to be over here, where the glory is manifesting, and it's amazing. Come on, you guys. Come on. So I looked at Steve, he looked at me, I said, put it in there. He says, yeah. He threw our last $20 in that offering plate. And I said, I know God has our back. I thank you, God. You're my provider. It's $20. It won't even get us home. We're going to sow it in good ground. And we're going to see a miracle. So we put it in there. We were happy. I've never been so happy. And there it was. And I just waved bye-bye. I said, this is great. Great things are about to happen. So we got to the end. It was all over. The glory cloud was still resting in the room. And there were people up on the platform. One of these guys is quite an imposing person. He came up to me, and he introduced himself, and he said, "How much do you put in that offering plate?" I wanted to say, "It's none of your business." He says, "No, tell me, it's important." I said, "Well, the last $20 we had in the world." He says, "Ah." He says, "I want you to meet me for lunch tomorrow. There's one more day to the conference." So we were happy. We ran down there with bells on, me and the boys and all of us. Yes, order steak. No, we didn't. We just ordered. And so he says, "I'm paying for all your meals." And he said, "Amazing things are getting ready to happen to you, young lady." And he said, I want to pour my life into you." He was a prophet and a real one. And he called us down to Colorado Springs, where he had a beautiful home. And he put our family up for a whole week. And every night after he had worked, his real estate, he poured his life into us, 4 hours a night at least. So we're up into the wee hours, and then we'd all go to bed. And at the end of the week, he gave $1,000 to each of my boys and $2,000 to me and Steve. This is after he paid for us to go see everything, you know, go to all the parks and everything during the day. And then he poured. I'm telling you, this was a miracle. Our family was just gasping with joy. "Oh, God, you're so wonderful." So he gave all this to us, and we went home. And about a week later, a check came in the mail to my P.O. box, and a lady sent me a $5,000 check. As she loved our music, and she had become aware somehow that we owed $5,000 for the album we'd just put out. And she became aware of it. She sent that check, and we paid off that album, which we didn't have any idea how we would ever pay. And God met that need. And it went on and on, because you know why? Because we were hidden in the secret place of the Most High, and the glory of God was flowing through us. Everybody with